وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover you in his mercy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all your needs of deen, dunya and akhirah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به لغير الله، فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه، إن الله غفور رحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, continuing with the subject of the evil of unlawful and haram wealth. Many people have the misconception that giving charity purifies ill-gotten wealth. To give charity with unlawful and haram wealth is even a greater sin. It will never be accepted, since the hadith states that Allah only accepts acts of purity. How can an action which itself is unacceptable purify the rest of the wealth? The charity thus given is unacceptable, as well as the remaining wealth. Both will be a cause of punishment in the hereafter. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The servant who earns illicit wealth and spends thereof in charity will have his charity rejected by Allah. Whatever he spends therefrom will not be blessed, and what he leaves behind will enter him into hell. Verily, Allah does not annul evil with evil, but with good. One evil can never annul another." Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The flesh nourished on unlawful haram will never enter Jannah, will never enter heaven. The fire of hell is more deserving of it." Another hadith states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That body cannot enter Jannah which was nourished on unlawful and haram." In yet another hadith it is stated, "When a person purchases a garment for 10 dirhams, one of which was unlawful and haram, not a single salah of his will be accepted as long as it is upon his body." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innama harrama alaykumul maytata wad-dama wa lahmal khinziri wa ma uhilla bihi li ghayrillah, faman izdurra ghayra baghin wa la 'adin fala isma 'alayhi, inna Allaha ghafurur rahim." Allah has only forbidden for you carrion, blood, the flesh of swine, and those animals which were sacrificed with the name of another besides Allah. As for him who is driven by necessity, then should he eat from it, neither rebelliously nor transgressing the limits, there will be no sin upon him. Verily, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Now, a brief discussion of the forbidden things and the person driven by necessity. This verse discusses the prohibition of carrion, blood, pork, and all such animals which have been sacrificed in the name of someone else besides Allah. It was customary for the pagan Arabs to consume all of these together with lawful and halal foods. The fundamental, basic, and unlawful and haram foods are mentioned here. The seeming limitation implied by the word only innama is merely relative. Besides the things mentioned here, there are many others that have been stated in other verses of the Quran and the ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surah Maidah contains the mention of other forbidden things. Inshallah, all of this will be discussed in great detail in that surah. As for him who is driven by necessity, this refers to the person who is starved to the point where he is in danger of losing his life and has no lawful food, halal food to eat. He may, to save his life, eat just that much of unlawful and haram food which will sustain him. He can only eat so much as will save his life. He should not consume more than this, nor should he eat to derive satisfaction. For example, if a person is dying of starvation, it will be permissible for him to eat pork and drink wine if there is no other food available. Should he then eat and drink to his fill, thinking that he should make the most of the opportunity, he will be considered to be rebellious and a transgressor to the laws of Allah. If the person eats to derive pleasure or exceed the necessary amount, he will be sinful. Allah mentions in this verse, there will be no sin upon him. This implies that the permission received at this time of necessity is a form of pardon and grace. Allah did not say that these things have been declared lawful and halal. Even though its consumption may be said to be temporarily permissible, the prohibition still remains. Some Muslims who go to Europe, America, or Australia drink wine, eat pork and impermissible meat. When questioned, they say that they are forced to do so, taking support from the verse, as for him who is driven by necessity. In reality, they are far, very far from the definition of the person who is driven by necessity. In these countries also, lawful and halal foods can be procured. Fish, eggs, milk, etc. are available, as well as the possibility of arranging for halal and lawful meat. To consume unlawful and haram food under these circumstances is absolutely not allowed. Even the person who is truly driven by necessity is only permitted to eat a meager amount that can sustain him. These people, on the other hand, eat to their full every day. Hence, there can be no question about the impermissibility of the action. Some people make the absurd remark that they recite Bismillah in the name of Allah before eating pork. May Allah save us from such foolishness. Taking the name of Allah will not legalize a forbidden act. There exists the danger of losing one's belief and iman in making such a statement. One should also reconsider the reason which takes a Muslim to a land where no lawful food and halal food is found. It is only the vile urge to acquire the paltry material gains of this world. This urge takes them to these lands and feeds them the unlawful and haram. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارَ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى والعذاب بالمغفرة فما أصبرهم على النار ذلك بأن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق وإن الذين اختلفوا في الكتاب لفي شقاق بعيد. Verily, those who conceal that which Allah has revealed, that is the book, selling it for a paltry sum, these people only fill their bellies with fire. Allah will not speak to them on the day of judgment, neither will he purify them, and they will receive a most painful chastisement.
These are the ones who barter error for the price of guidance and punishment for that of forgiveness. However will they endure the fire? This is because verily Allah has revealed the book with truth, and those who seek to disagree concerning the book are in clear schism. The plight of those who change the book of Allah. This verse admonishes those who conceal, adulterate, and incorrectly explain the book of Allah merely to acquire some worldly gain. In Asbabun Nuzul, the statement of Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is recorded, where he says that this verse was revealed with regard to the leaders and scholars of the Bani Israel. They used to accept gifts from the people in exchange for passing rulings in religion. They also entertained the hope that the final prophet would be from amongst them. However, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent amongst the Arabs, these people changed his description in the Torah. They substituted the description of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with other descriptions so that the public may not believe in him. This they did in order to preserve their dominance over the people and to continue receiving bribes from them. In a previous verse, also, a warning was sounded regarding the concealing of Allah's verses. It was repeated because the disease of concealing was very rife amongst the religious scholars of the Bani Israel. The reminder is given to them that the actions which they perpetrate for the meager gains of this reprehensible world will only result in a most grave torment in the hereafter. It will lead to Jahannam and hellfire. Those who are involved fill their bellies with the gains of this world, which will serve to fill the same with the flaming coals of hell and Jahannam. In reality, they do not consume the things of this world, but the fire of hell. They earn the anger of Allah, who will not speak affectionately to them on the day of judgment, nor will he purify and forgive them for their sins. Such a grave warning, you know, for distorting the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the scriptures and the noble Quran, books revealed by him, and then they were interpolated and changed by the very priests and the rabbis of the Bani Israel for a paltry gain of this world, not realizing that this world will come to an end and the life of the year after is permanent, and there they will have to stand for accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truth is always truth. Ja'a al-haq wa zahaqa al-batil. So we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah keep us firm and established on truth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making amal on the teachings of the noble Quran. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.